A Kiss of Love. Written by Barbara Cartland. Narrated by Anthony Wren. Chapter 1, 1878. Lady Malvina Silisley ran downstairs as she heard the horses come to a standstill outside the front door. Her father, the Earl of Silstone, stepped out from his carriage just as she reached him. She flung her arms round his neck.
"You are back, Papa. I have missed you so much. How could you stay away for so long?"
"It was only a week, my dearest," he replied, "but I'm flattered that you found it lonely without me."
"Very, very lonely, Papa. But I have lots to tell you, so come in and have your tea. It's waiting for you in the drawing room." They walked into the impressive mansion that had been the home of the Earls of Silston for 3 centuries. It had, however, fallen into considerable disrepair before her father, the 5th Earl, had inherited the estate. He had been lucky enough to inherit a huge fortune from a godfather who had gone exploring the world and finally, before he died, touched gold. The Silisleys had always regretted that the head of their family could not live in the big house, so there was general rejoicing when the Earl started to restore it. He was ably assisted by his wife, who fortunately had exquisite taste. The result, when they had completed the restoration, was to turn Silston Court into one of the most beautiful ancestral homes in the entire country. The Earl was welcomed in the neighbourhood, not just for his wealth, but for himself. He was an extremely genial gentleman, charming and good-tempered, and ready to help anyone he met. As soon as he came into such a large fortune, he had assisted quite a number of his contemporaries. In fact, he was ready to listen to any story of hard luck that was told to him. He was blissfully happy with his countess until she died, and he adored his very attractive daughter. The only sadness was that he had no son to inherit the title and estates. All would go, on the Earl's death, to a rather boring cousin whom no one particularly liked. However, the Earl was still comparatively young. People often whispered that he was likely to marry again and produce the much-wanted heir. In the meantime, he was very busy. His daughter, Malvina, had just left school after an extensive and a very expensive education. She had ended up in the most renowned finishing school for girls in St. Cloud, just outside Paris. The school was kept by nuns and was attached to a convent. The pupils all came from the aristocracies of every European country, and the most experienced teachers and masters in France were employed by the school. Malvina had returned home with flying colours. Her report was exceptionally good, and she had 4 distinctions and prizes to prove it. She was thrilled to be home. During her father's recent absence, she had spent the time riding his fine horses and exploring what had been added to the house since she had been away. She was particularly attracted to the library, and it was a delight to her that her father had bought all the recent books that had just been published in London. Now, as she went with her father into the house, she was talking about the mares that had just foaled and the orchids that had just come into bloom. These were a new possession and had been brought to them from the East. "You must come with me and see these wonderful orchids, Papa, as soon as we have finished tea," enthused Malvina when they reached the drawing room.